As I've mentioned before, I am packing up my office up there at the back of the balcony and moving into the new section of the church, which means all those books I have up there have to be packed up and moved over, and I've been in the process of doing that. As I was doing this, I stumbled on a book of idioms that I happen to have. There are a lot of books I didn't realize I had up there. Anyway, this book of idioms, you know, little sayings that we all use, and for the most part, we know what they mean, but just in case you don't know what a particular idiom means, someone put together a whole book so you could look them up. Anyway, I began leafing through this book at the various idioms and sayings that were listed there. Sayings like, happy as a clam. Sayings like that are quite old, this one going back to at least 1800. Others of them are a little more modern. For example, it had the saying, jump the shark. How many have heard that? Huh? It comes from the 1970s and refers to a TV show that is past its prime. There are lots and lots of idioms out there. Some are familiar, like have your cake and eat it too, at least familiar to me anyway. Or knee-high to a grasshopper, I've heard that one before, and yet there were some I'd never heard before, like boil the ocean, never, or pound the salt, never heard that one either. And then a really odd one that was don't harsh my mellow. How many know that one? Yeah, there we go, see, ask Todd what it means. Anyway, as I was leafing through this book, I came upon one that seemed to speak to this Sunday scripture passage, and it was a month of Sundays. Now, for Christians, Sundays is our Sabbath day, and our passage from Mark is all about Sabbath. And if the Pharisees had known the phrase, they might have said to Jesus, never in a month of Sundays. So I had to look and see what it said about the phrase a month of Sundays. And a month of Sundays can sort of be figured out. It refers to a long time, a month of Sundays, which would be 30 Sundays or 31 Sundays. And since Sundays come once a week, that would be 30 or 31 weeks, well over 7 months. If you said it would take a month of Sundays to finish that project, we would have been happy, right? No, if you said a month of Sundays, it means that what you're saying is it would take a really long time, really too long. The phrase, it is a phrase that is used when we don't expect something to happen. If you ask someone to volunteer the neighbor in the neighborhood, maybe volunteer to canvass the neighborhood, if you ask somebody to do that, they might answer, never in a month of Sundays, meaning that he wouldn't do that ever. And as I read this passage from Mark, I realized that the Pharisees were saying the same thing. Our passage that I just read is really two little vignettes about the Pharisees encountering Jesus. This is all early, the very beginning of Jesus' ministry. He began to attract a following as he went around the countryside performing miracles and teaching about the kingdom of God. The Pharisees, who were the religious experts of the day, the important people, if you will, they were suspicious of this new teacher in their midst. And so they began to follow him around and watch him and note what he did and what he said. And so it should not surprise us that they were with Jesus when he walked across that cornfield with his disciples. And as they walked across that cornfield, his disciples began to harvest some of the grain so they would have something to eat. And this makes the Pharisees upset. Now, what's interesting, they're not upset about these disciples taking the grain out of the field. In fact, that was allowed under Old Testament law to glean a field after it had been harvested. So that isn't what the Pharisees were upset at. They were upset the disciples were doing it on the Sabbath, because that constituted work, and it was clear from the Bible that you were not to work on the Sabbath. 6 days God took to create the world, and on the seventh, he rested. In the second vignette, Jesus enters the synagogue and sees a man with a withered hand, and again, the Pharisees are right there to see if he will heal on the Sabbath. Do work on the Sabbath. And again, they are not focused on what he did, but when he did it. It is still the Sabbath, and as great as this miracle was, he should not be doing it on the Sabbath. The tension between Jesus and the Pharisees is brought home in the second half of our reading. Jesus stands by the man with the withered hand and then looks towards these gawking Pharisees and asks them a question. Is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save or to kill? And the Pharisees remained silent, but they knew the answer to Jesus' question was, yes, it is lawful. It is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. And yet they could not speak. And I was thinking, if Jesus had asked, is it lawful to work on the Sabbath, I'm sure they would have said no. And if Jesus had asked if they would ever work on the Sabbath, they might have said never on a month of Sundays. Or on their calendar, never on a month of Sabbaths. But what is interesting in these two vignettes is that Jesus never criticizes the law. Never criticized Judaism. In fact, he supports Judaism, or rather, he uses the very laws and customs of Judaism to support his actions. And he never disparages the Pharisees, and although he's angry at their hardness of heart, he doesn't call them names. He doesn't call them stick-in-the-muds or blind guides or anything else like that. He doesn't say a mean thing to him. No, he does what he is called to do, heal the sick and proclaim God's kingdom. And see, we find the key to this passage comes in the very last verse. After he heals the man with the withered hand, Mark tells us that the Pharisees went out and immediately conspired with the Herodians against him, how to destroy him. You see, in many ways, this passage is really about a difference of opinion, a difference in understanding, and a different of approach to the laws of the faith. The Pharisees understood the laws, including the laws on working on the Sabbath, one way, very rigidly, but very important to living out the faith. Jesus offers a different view on what the laws of the Sabbath are, less rigid, but just as important to living out the faith. And so what we have is a disagreement on how to live out the faith. And what is significant in this passage is how quickly a simple disagreement about living within these laws escalates into outright hostility. The Pharisees are good caretakers of the law, and yet, when confronted with another option, another approach to living out faith within the laws, they cannot handle it. The new perspective, which is actually supported by the very laws that they follow, is too much for them to absorb. But rather than engaging Jesus in a discussion, asking him to explain what he's doing, giving them a chance to process it, they instead stomp off and set about on how to destroy him. And if we were to go through the Gospel of Mark, we would realize that the Gospel as a whole tells a story of reoccurring controversy. Passages like this one are sprinkled out throughout Mark's account of Jesus' ministry. And these controversies eventually lead to the cross, which is at the climax of Mark's book. As theologian Donald Jewell puts it, for us and for Mark, the cross ought to be a sober reminder of how easily the most noble motives can be perverted. It points out how quickly an institution can become an end in itself, stifling legitimate concerns of those outside that may seem to threaten stability. It illustrates how frequently insidious forces we scarcely notice can transform the best educated, best intentioned among us into insensitive leaders desperately out of touch with what is real. See, this is the challenge that Mark gives us in his gospel. That in Jesus Christ, God is breaking into the world, our church world. Throughout the gospel, in Mark, God is constantly breaking into what is established, what we think is normal. And into our set and calcified ways to remind us of what is really important, what really matters. And that is a message we still need to hear today. To continue to focus on what really matters. We had two items in the news this past Wednesday. One that got most of the attention, the other that I think needs most of the attention. The first was the firing of comedian Roseanne Barr for a tweet she sent. Anybody not hear about this? Okay, good. I don't need to explain it any further. Other than the tweet was the main focus of the news in the days that followed. It went on for days. Haven't read the Sunday paper yet, but I'll guarantee there's something on it in the paper today. Caused the end of a top-rated show, set up arguments on who should apologize to whom and for what, spread to other similar issues. It was a big deal. Also in the news that same day, there was another item. Harvard University released the results of a study that attributed over 46,000 deaths to the hurricane that struck Puerto Rico last fall. Turns out that is more than 70 times the official death toll attributed to the storm, which is listed as 64. The study looked at the death rate on the island and especially on the deaths that were caused over time by lack of power, lack of clean water, lack of food, lack of good medical care, and came up with a number that ought to be astounding. It is more than twice the number who died in Hurricane Katrina in 2005. And yet very little was reported on the story, and I didn't hear any outcry. Maybe it was there, but it was drowned out by other news. Jesus has a way of reminding us what is important, and what is really important. The Pharisees knew the laws were important. Jesus knew what was very important, and that was to do good, even on the Sabbath. Racist statements, vulgar statements are certainly important. But I have to ask the question, are the lives of 4,600 people, aren't they important too? Maybe really important? And we need to be reminded of this, that in the world and in our own lives, we continue to need to remember what is really important. Today, we will be installing new officers, men and women who will be deacons and elders in the church, leaders that you all elected, that God has called. If there is a charge that I would give them, it is this. It's to help us to see in our church and in our community in the world what is really important. To help us to see where the Spirit of God is breaking into our world with new opportunities, new ideas, new ways of seeing the world, new ways of serving the world, and then to help us follow in those new ways. And if they are able to do it, we'll find that it may take a month of Sundays to go there, but it'll be worth it. And when we get there, maybe we'll use one of those other idioms I found, and we'll all be happy as a clam. Amen.